it's really great to be here. To be with our family, the Clemos, and to meet new members. It's just great. This morning, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And I was asking the Lord what we should talk about, and the Lord brought this passage to mind. And so we're just going to work through a little bit here from, let's start in verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, that's on page 1224 in your church Bibles. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. For ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has from the beginning of creation. Now, this was written couple thousand years ago, almost. Is it true of today? Can we say today that people are saying, everything's just the same? Do they mock us for what we believe? Of course they do. So this is a very relevant passage for what we're talking about today. People say everything goes on the same. And I arrived back at the church where my father was sent out as a missionary over probably about 40 years ago now. Was talking with one of the older ladies there. She says, I remember when your father went out, when he was just a teenager. And I can remember back 30 years at that church and the neighborhood. And I look around. The building is pretty much the same. The neighborhood is pretty much the same. The same driveway. The same little brick wall. Couple new posters. Everything's the same. A lot of things the same. You still got roadworks on the M4 by Slough. Not for 30 years, but it was 2 years ago. So as we look around, we say everything's the same. Is God really real? And these people were scoffing, and the Apostle Peter is encouraging us to remember. First, these people are going to come, and they're going to be making fun of us. Second, he says, another thing he says is, they say everything goes on since the beginning of creation. The same. Verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And I looked up in quite a variety of versions, and it's basically what it says here is what it's saying in the original, that they're the ones that are forgetting. And they're not just forgetting for a lapse of memory. They want to forget. They want to ignore the fact that God created the heaven and the earth. Heavens and the earth. What's so important about the fact that God creates the heaven and the earth? Well, God is the creator. If we take God not being the creator, then everything sort of existed by itself and continues on by itself. And who needs God? But God says that everything existed how? And in verse 5 it says that they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed and earth. And so long ago God created the heavens, God created the earth, and there was water all around the earth. There was no dry land, and everything was water, and then God called the dry land out, and he told the dry land to appear out of water. And then God put water above the atmosphere, and so you had water above the atmosphere, and you had the seas and the dry land on what we call earth today. An atmosphere in between. That's what it's saying here when it says, by God's word, the earth was formed out of water. So God called the earth out of the water that was all over. And it was sustained by water. Water is one of the basic elements of the universe. And they're finding water elements in planets and things like that, and they're amazed. God says it right here, you know. The heavens and earth were formed by God's word. And it's important, this what he's saying here. The earth was formed out of water and by water. It came from the water. And God, it was formed by God's word. And then in verse 6 we read, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. So that water was there, and that water was there above the atmosphere, and that water was there under the crust of the earth and in the seas. And when the flood came and God said, I'm going to destroy everything. Because man is utterly wicked. He's only thinking his way. And so he's just constantly thinking bad thoughts. So God destroyed the earth by water. Where did the water come from that God used to destroy the earth? Well, he just said it was there and he created it by his word. It was already there. And it was sustained by his word. And when his word said, okay, it's going to be destroyed, the water that was above the atmosphere, creating a filter for all the negative rays and everything, well, that came down to the earth. It says if you read later in Genesis chapter 7, it talks about the floodgates of heaven being opened. And it talks about the earth underneath being opened up, and the water came out from under the earth. And because there was a big water table before, and it all came out from under, and water came out from underneath and flooded the earth, and the water came out from the heavens and came down, because before the flood it didn't rain. There was a different world before the flood. People lived longer. Everything was different. But these people are saying nothing's been different since the creation of the world. They're ignoring fact. And if you want to find those facts, you can actually look around in people's legends around the world, the different people groups, everybody has a different legend about the flood. Now, those stories have been told so many times and been distorted that they're not like the biblical account. But they have something of the same story of water destroying the earth before the whatever name of God they put to it destroyed the earth because the people were violent, and different stories bringing out the truth. It's there. But really, man wants to forget. Man doesn't want to recognize that God is God. And then we have in verse 7, it says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So we have the word of God created the world and the heavens. The word of God sustains everything, but the word of God brought the flood on to destroy mankind before. And every time you see the rainbow, remember God judges. It may seem like it's taken forever. When's God really going to come and judge the bad people for doing bad things? And that's what a lot of people that just want to live for themselves and do bad things say, well, if there really was a God, He wouldn't let so many bad things happen. He would punish the bad people for doing bad things. Then why doesn't God do things the way they think He should be doing them? Or is it that they really don't understand God? But God has a plan, and He's reserved the world for a future judgment, when everything is going to be burnt up. It's a judgment of fire. And according to verse 7, who's that judgment for? Is He going to judge everybody? It says, the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Is that really going to happen? Is it real? You know, let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And then it goes on to describe one of the events that's going to happen at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. We're talking about a general time here. When God comes to judge the world. Just the same as the people in the time of Noah. Everybody's going to be just having their parties and having fun, going to work, trying to earn their pension. And to be able to relax, marrying, giving in marriage. And nobody is thinking that there's going to be a destruction. What would happen if we knew that tomorrow there was going to be a big tsunami that was going to wash all over Britain? Impossible? How high is Britain from the water? It's not that high, because we go up some mountains over there in Wales we were in last week, and they're up at a 1,000 meters. So we must be a lot lower than that here, right? A couple hundred meters? But you have a big wave come over, and this last week there was a little volcano, wasn't there, that exploded over there in Iceland. So we got a little cloud of dust over Europe, and Europe is paralyzed. What happens? What happened to all their foreseeing? What happened to man's superintelligence and technology? What happened to all the perfect plans? I had it all planned out. This was the day we were going on our honeymoon. This was the day we were coming back on our honeymoon. Well, I was planning on coming a week later, and I would have caught that same ash cloud. But God put my plans forward a week, and so me and my wife came a week ahead of time. Or God could have moved the volcano to erupt in a different time. It doesn't take much to distort man's idea or man's plan. What do we know about tomorrow? Let's go back to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. And verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not willing, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So they're saying, everything's the same since the beginning. Nothing ever changes. You know, when I was young, I used to get frustrated with adults. I said, well, why don't we just do something? You know, spending hours and hours talking about doing something, keep seeing the same things all the time. It seemed to me that there wasn't much change. We could just do something. But of course, as a young person's mind doesn't understand all the details that the adults were seeing, why they couldn't do a change right away, why we can't just change this thing in the mission right away. Why can't we just do that? Why don't we just... Younger people think of things a lot simpler or don't see all the hiccups along the way. But change. So there is no change. And time, what's God doing? You know, what's God doing with time? What does it mean to God 1,000 years? Actually, we're living what they call now is the time of the Gentiles. What God calls the time of Gentiles. When God talks about His people, the Jews, when he selected Abraham, called Abraham, a man who followed God, and He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then they became the Jewish people. And God has a lot of promises for them. And he tells us in Romans that now is a special time that God has given to the Gentiles, which is everybody that's not a Jew. So that's all of us here, as far as I know. So God has given a special time to the Gentiles, but the time of the Gentiles really means it's the time of the Gentiles for the Gentiles to do what they think's best. It's not God controlling and God ruling. It's the Gentiles ruling. But man's time to do what he thinks, what he wants to do, is coming to an end. And that's what he's talking about here. God could speed that up any moment. So, whatever the time is, we don't know what the time is. Remember, the people were having parties and living life normal right up to the day the rain started coming down and the water started gushing out of the earth and pouring out of the heavens in the time of Noah. And they didn't know what it hit them. But they were there celebrating their wedding. They were there in their party. They were out there with their cattle, working their fields, making their new mansion. And it's all gone. So what can happen tomorrow? It's very important, this thing about thinking about time. You know, how much time do we have? How much time do you have left? If we compare the time we live according to eternity, what is 70 years to eternity? And if you get more, 80 or 90, what is it to eternity? But how we live here, this is our only chance we have to live by faith. Because when we die, if we are actually believing in God and we go to God and we live with God, we will see Him face to face. We won't have to believe without seeing. So this is our only opportunity to live and to serve God believing without seeing. This is our opportunity. This is our time. And it's not very long to serve the supreme God, ruler of heaven and earth, creator of heaven and earth. That's why it's important that He is the creator, because He's over all creation and everything. He is the ruler. No one else says what happens. And they think they're controlling things, and then a little cloud of dust gets out of their control. You can't land a few airplanes. In Colombia, a few years ago, we have a tall mountain volcano called Nevado de Ruiz. The Ruiz snow-capped mountain, that's what it means. And that little snow-capped mountain, to be snow-capped on the equator, you've got to be high up. So that one goes up above 5,000 meters. And it didn't actually spit out lava. It just smoked a little bit. And the little bit of smoke that came out melted a bit of the ice up there. And that started all of a sudden come gushing down through a little rivulet stream. And pretty soon it took down a whole chunk of the mountain. And it came down through this canyon like this. And then as the canyon goes down in between the mountains, this river has to go down like this through a tight canyon, and all of a sudden it opens out onto a plain. And right where it opens out, there's this town sitting. The town of Armero. And people didn't know what had hit them until this flood of mud because the water had mixed with mud, came rushing down, and all of a sudden they were covered in mud. People that were standing on top of a two-story house, concrete floor on the second floor. And so they were just standing on top, all of a sudden they found themselves at ground level, at mud level. The slab had come loose and they were just floating along. They were lucky. Few people survived in that town that night. And it was just a little overheated volcano. There was no real big eruption. It was just a little bit of water that got out of control down this little canyon. And a couple of years ago, we drove up in the car a few hours on this little dirt track that winds its way around the top of this mountain. We saw a piece of the mountain where it come out. And some of the big boulders that were still on the way, like in the river basin, where this had gone down. Quite impressive, but it was just a little piece of mountain. I remember things like that make us think. And they made me think about, you know, we don't know what's going on tomorrow. We don't know about time. We don't know what's going to happen. And the Lord used those things in my life. What are you doing, Philip Brown? How are you living your time? How are you living your time for the Lord? So this year, there was a devastating earthquake in Haiti. It wasn't even a minute of earthquake, it was just a few seconds. There was an earthquake down in Chile. Actually there was a series of earthquakes down there. And they didn't remember to think about a tsunami, and the earthquake caused a tsunami, and that killed some more people. These things make us think, you know, how much time do we have to live? How much time do we have to serve God? What really matters? What is really valuable? When we think about that, that's what we need to think about, you know. What is really valuable? Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look to the day of God and speed its coming, the day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat." It's all going to be over. Just as sure that there was a flood, just as sure as we see the rainbow in the sky that reminds us there was a flood, and that God was patient, and He waited in the days of Noah until they built the ark, to be able to free those eight people, to be able to save those eight people, so that we could be here today, so that God could fulfill His promise of a Redeemer that He had given to Adam and Eve right at the beginning, and proclaim His glory of what He planned from the beginning. God's plans have not changed. He continues on with His plans. And it seems like things that God has forgotten His plan. God's still going on with His plan. He hasn't changed His plan. And just as sudden as the flood came, as sudden will come the end. And it'll be over. And He says here that The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. Everything will be burnt up, laid bare. We don't really know how God is going to destroy the world by fire and the universe. He destroyed the world by flood, and the world that was before was not the same world as was afterwards. It wasn't just water coming up and water going down. When God made the world and He called the land to come out of water on day three of the creation, well, when the flood happened again, everything went all the way back to day two of the creation. Water covered everything. And it was a different world and a different atmosphere afterwards. Some people think that the heavens, whether that includes all of the universe, I don't know, whether it just includes the atmosphere, I don't know, but it's, some people say, well, it's going to all be burnt up, so it's just going to disappear, and God's going to make a new world and a new heavens. Now, the question is that new world, does that mean like the core of our sphere that goes around the universe, that sphere is going to disappear? Which God could do it. They've shown us pictures of stars and planets blowing up, right? The scientists. Or is God going to take the earth that's right now, the other version, and just burn it up? Burn all the outside up and cleanse it by fire and make a new one. It's another one of the options. So we can live our lives, right? We can live our lives thinking nothing's changing. There is no God. He doesn't judge anybody. Because He hasn't judged anybody. So we just go on living like we want to. Well, we don't like to interpret things that happen as judgments. But if you read through your Bible, you'll find that God brings wars as judgment. I think we've had a few wars. People don't like to think about it, but when you stop and you think, why did God let the Twin Towers in New York fall? So many people die. Isn't God trying to say something to the world? Isn't God trying to say something to the United States? To the Western world? I think so, and if you look at it, the nation of the United States has continually been going away from God, turning away from God, where it was a nation where the schools were formed by people who believed in God and the Bible, and the Bible was read in schools. Now it is banned from being read in schools. More babies die from abortion than people were killed in the Second World War. And so, why is God unjust to call attention to a nation who is not following God anymore? To God's people. And when that event happened, it was another one of those events. And I challenge you, when those things happen, stop and look. We don't really know exactly what God is trying to say through those things. But what we do know is that God judges, and we do know that we don't know how long our time is. We never know when God's going to call us home. And if we believe in God, we don't know how much time He's given us, even those of us who walk with God and honor God, we don't know. So what he's saying here is, time's short. And everything's going to be burnt up. So we live in for building bridges and houses and great nations here on this earth? Or are we living for God's kingdom? For God's glory? For things that are eternal? For things that are going to last forever? And in the midst of all talking about destruction and everything, there's something positive. For us who believe in Jesus Christ, it says, verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. We have a hope. We have a new heavens and a new earth that's going to be coming. In the new heavens and new earth, there aren't going to be any ungodly people. Just people who love God. Just people who do good, who never do bad. It's going to be a different world. That's the world we've been dreaming about for a long time. And that's sort of where we need to keep our focus. Keep our focus that there is, you know, there is going to be a real judgment. People don't like to talk about that nowadays. But there's a real heaven too. There's going to be a real place of joy. God is not just going to be represented in a tent like he was in the desert with Moses. And just part of God's presence was there. Not be represented in a temple and just part of God's presence there. And not just be in us, in his spirit. Says he's going to live with us. He's going to dwell with us. His presence will even be closer. That'll be fantastic. That'll be great. Let's just pray. Thank the Lord for his goodness towards us. Father, I thank you, O God, that you are patient. Dearly Father, we have such a hard time remembering that the little things in our life that affect us every day are not permanent, are not eternal, and everything seems to be the same sometimes. Help us to keep a vision for the future, for eternity, that eternity that we're going to share with you and glorify you. Lord, to keep a vision also of your eternal judgment on those who don't believe. And we thank you, God, because you are patient so that many may have the chance to come to believe on you, to honor you. May you use us, O God, to help others to know you, to honor you, for you're worthy. May we live the time you give us for your glory and your honor. For things that last forever. Encourage each one here, Lord, today. Encourage each one that they may know the reality of who you are, that you are God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.